I'm going to pray, then I'm going to turn it over to Marie. Let's pray. Father, we just want to lift up those on our prayer focus to you right now. We lift up Herb. Intervene, dear Lord. We lift up Craig's stepdad. We lift up Greg Engine's dad. Mike, who's here with us this morning, Brenda, Dwight, Don, and so many more on that prayer focus. That little baby, Margaret Montgomery's unborn great-grandchild that has some serious difficulties. We lift them all up to you, Father. Margaret Dumprope's children and grandchildren and all the rest that have lost their loved ones just lately. Father, we lift them up to you and ask, Heavenly Father, intervene. Intervene in our community, Father, on behalf of lost people. We don't pray that to be judgmental. We pray that they would be saved, born again, redeemed, set free. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. Thank you for what you've given Marie to share with us this morning about prayer. Guide her. Help us, Father, to continue to worship you and to hear from you. I pray it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Lord bless you.
Good morning, everyone. Isn't it nice to see these flowers? I love seeing the color, not just white. I'm tired of that. Once we are saved, we are forever established as part of God's family. We belong to Christ, the family of Christ. We are Christians. And saved is good, very important. But what comes next is growth. Pat, when we are born, after we are born, we grow. And it is our responsibility to take responsibility for our own growth. Pastors and teachers play a part, but ultimately we need to take responsibility for our own growth in the Lord. Regardless of when we are saved, regardless of when we accepted Christ, we all have room for growth. I know I certainly do. Every pastor, every teacher, every bishop, we all have room to grow. Just ask my husband, he will tell you. I have lots of room. Hebrews 5, verses 11 through 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. There are lots of methods to grow. Lots of videos, lots of books, lots of things. How do we learn to distinguish good from evil? Today I'm going to talk about two such methods, prayer and forgiveness. Practicing these growth methods can bring much maturity and wisdom to the Christian. In Jesus' time, the rabbis or the teachers would teach their disciples how to pray. It was not a surprise when Jesus' disciples asked him how they should pray. Further, it was common for the rabbis at the time to give their disciples an outline of things to pray. And some people believe, and I follow this thought, that the Lord's Prayer, although a beautiful prayer and should be praised, can also be used as an outline. And if anyone has a hard time spending time in prayer, this is a very good primer. We can pray the Lord's Prayer as an outline, and we take it apart, pray its parts. It's easy to find that an hour has passed. Luke 11, 1 through 4. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. And he said to him, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Further, Matthew 6, 9 through 14. And when you pray, Do not heap empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father in heaven knows what you need before you ask him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The opening of the Lord's Prayer is worship. Our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. When we pray this prayer, we can begin by praising God our Father, a God who is concerned for us, a God who loves us as only a perfect Father can love us. We can spend several minutes worshiping, praising, and just opening that wonderful time with the Lord. We can honor his name. Holy is the Lord's name. Hebrews 13:15. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of the lips that acknowledge our name, that acknowledges his name. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, if we start in praise, we can easily spend 5 or 10 minutes, and depending on how musical you are, probably a lot more. My musical friends tend to be closest to God, it seems, when they're praising. The second part, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. We can acknowledge that God is in control on earth as he is in heaven. Even when it seems that our world is out of control, God is still in control. We all are under his lordship, whether we want to be or not. We do well to acknowledge that he is Lord and pray, let will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Many have wondered and still wonder, why if such bad things happen if God's in control? Well, that's a topic for another day, but it's free will. God gives us free will. We can do good or we can do evil. We have that choice. And we can use our free will to do good. And our free will is predicated on the fact that our Father is in heaven and wants to have a relationship with us. If he made us robots, that wouldn't be much of a relationship. When I pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I pray very specifically. I pray that on earth as it is in heaven for my family, for our church, for our world. I can get very specific for friends or family, people we know that are in crisis. When I pray for our church and our community, whatever the specific issue is of the day we might hear on the news or whatever the Lord places on our hearts, we can pray on earth as it is in heaven. I pray for the day it is on earth as it is in heaven. That will be a good day, but that will be when the Lord comes again. The next part, give us this day our daily bread. We pray here for our needs, the needs of our family, our church's needs, and not just physical needs, but emotional needs. I pray for God's blessing, for our daily bread for our family, for the church, for the pastors. Whatever he requires of me, whatever he brings to mind, our daily bread. What is it today? This morning when I got up, my first thought was, okay, Lord, what do I need for this day? What's my daily bread for today? What do you want me to spend my time and energy on? Where should I give? And when we ask, he shows. He always shows. And forgive us our trespasses, as he forgives those who trespass against us. This is one of the most important keys of growing in the Lord, is learning how to walk in forgiveness. We will not be forgiven if we do not forgive. So many people have a hard time with this. We forgive because God forgave us while we were still sinners. While we were sinners, he hung on that cross for us. We have to do the same for the brothers and sisters, the people around us who hurt us, offend us, wound us. We have no choice. There is absolutely no wiggle room. We need to forgive. I think forgiveness is so misunderstood very often in Christianity because the concept is not well understood. We forgive. Our forgiveness does not excuse the bad behavior. Somebody has treated us badly, and we need to forgive them. But our forgiving them makes us right with God. It doesn't excuse anything anybody else has done. And I find there's freedom in that. It makes it so much easier when somebody has wounded us to the quick. And you think, okay, Lord, how am I going to get beyond this? How am I going to forgive this? Well, we forgive because we were forgiven. We don't have to excuse their behavior. Romans 12:17-21. Repay no one for evil. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to what you do, what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. By doing so, you are heaping burning coals on his head. Also in Romans 10:31, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Years and years ago, I knew somebody who was terribly defrauded, and I was so angry at the person who defrauded them and all the pain it caused, and it was terrible. And I kept praying, Lord, how am I going to forgive this? How am I going to get past this? So I said, all right, I'm going to forgive. I'm just going to forgive. And whenever those thoughts, those ugly, mean, angry, hurt thoughts would come in, I'd say, okay, Lord, I've gave it to you. And I'd start praising or singing or saying the ABCs, whatever, to not let that thought in my head. And one day it came back in my head, and I was filled with fear for this person because they were falling into the hands of the living God. I was so grateful to the Lord for changing my heart from being angry to being worried and sad for this person who had done so much harm, because they're going to have to answer for it. And that is a fearful thing. God is clear that vengeance belongs to him. And to not forgive is to let unforgiveness destroy our minds. I think we all know people who are filled with bitterness and anger because of unforgiveness. They just don't want to let it go. Unforgiveness keeps us apart from God. Forgive us as we forgive. That is part of the prayer. And after experiencing the beatings, the humiliation, the pain of the people who were killing him and did kill him, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Hanging on the cross, beaten, he's praying for those people. That is our example. That is how we are to live. And it is fearful. It is hard. I want to give some real life examples of people that I've walked through some fearful things. One night, it wasn't all that long ago, I was up most of the night with a woman whose father had raped her from her early childhood, and talking her through, how do you forgive that? Well, you do, because God forgave you. And you forgive him so that you are forgiven. And you forgive him so that you can get this hate out of your heart and you can be right with God. Doesn't excuse anything he did. It was wrong, but it makes you right with God. This woman was ultimately able to forgive her abuser. And not only that, her mind started to clear from the hate. Several times, and I know Jim has been in this position, sitting with somebody whose spouse has left and is involved with somebody else, and talking to them, if you want your head on straight, you have to forgive them, because the anger and the hate will destroy you, it will cloud your mind, it will cloud your thinking, it will separate you from God. It's terrible hard to watch people in such pain, but it's terrible wonderful to see them come out the other side, glowing with the love of God, never excusing bad behavior, but they are right with God. Forgiveness does not mean forgetting. Oftentimes, when we forgive someone, the offense just sort of fades to the past. When we forgive people, if their behavior doesn't change, that doesn't mean we have to keep putting ourselves into their power. My parents were not very nice parents when I grew up, and if they hadn't become Christians, and they did, and they were fabulous Christians, I wouldn't have taken my children around them. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have subjected them to what they did to us. But because they were saved, because they knew the Lord, they were the best grandparents ever. But I would have used my brain. God gave us a brain for a reason. He wants us to use it. We don't have to put ourselves in the path of people doing evil. That is not about forgiveness. Matthew 10:16 says, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." We can walk among evil people without picking up their evil or even responding to their evil. We can walk into forgiveness. Christianity is tough. Jesus' commands are tough, but God will give us what we need to follow him, even if it means forgiving the monsters that hurt us. The first step can be hard, but when we understand that forgiveness is not about excusing behavior, but about putting us right with God, it changes everything. Bitterness of unforgiveness is out of our hearts and our minds, and it's a beautiful way to live, to walk into forgiveness and not have those clutches of anger and bitterness at our hearts and minds. Further, going on with the Lord's Prayer, back to that, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." The enemy is like a prowling lion. Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober-minded and watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Pray that the Lord will deliver us from the evil one." And Matthew 26:41, "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." On the Mount of Olives, Jesus told his disciples to pray that they would not enter into temptation. This is a command repeated from the Lord's Prayer. The enemy of God wants to destroy us. He wants to destroy our family and our faith. God's hand will protect you, protect your family, your church, your community. So pray for that, that we will not be led into temptation. "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory." We end with another praise. Although it's not in the Lord's Prayer, it's what we've always prayed with it, that we end the prayer with worship. "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen." Although not in the Bible, we include it. And it's a praise. It's a worship for who God is and what he owns. And what he owns is all of us and everything we have. So when we worship our Creator, our God who guides us, takes care of us, we can live in a life of freedom. Praying and forgiveness are two powerful weapons in our arsenal against the enemy. If we are walking in unforgiveness, the enemy has us right where he wants us, in the clutch, in his hand, in his bitterness. When we walk in forgiveness, the enemy has no power over us. We are walking next to God. We are praying the Lord's Prayer. We are praying for our temptation. We are praying for our deliverance. We are praying for what we need. The enemy is far from us. So, brothers and sisters, I pray this week will be a week filled with forgiveness and praise. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Let's close in prayer. Thank you, Marie, for that word. Father, we know that there is so much healing in forgiveness. First and foremost, we are healed from sin because you're willing to forgive us. Oh, we thank you, Father. Oh, we thank you for that. And as Marie has reminded us this morning, there's so much healing when we forgive those who have trespassed against us. God, if we haven't been able to get to that point, help us. Help us forgive so that we might be forgiven and healed in our heart and mind and soul. And Father, I might add too, that would you forgive us in the church? Sometimes we have grown lukewarm. Sometimes we have grown lethargic in our spiritual fervor. Sometimes we have even perhaps been more worldly than godly. Will you forgive us for that? Will you forgive us, Father, when we haven't taken the time to pray and seek your face? When we haven't spent time with you? Everything else is consuming our time, but you don't get any. Will you forgive us for that? Will you forgive us, Father, for way too often, perhaps in the church in North America, putting your word on the shelf, calling it old and out of date? Father, will you revive us? Will you forgive us? And will you revive us? You told Solomon a long time ago, if your people who are called by your name would humble ourselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, that you would hear, that you would forgive, and that you would heal our land. Father, we need forgiving and we need our land healed. Starting right here in the church house, in churches across America, from church house to the White House, we need forgiveness and we need healing, Father. Will you forgive us and will you heal us? Father God, if we're here this morning and we're not quite sure we're right with you, we've been walking with the world. The world has been more important to us. The world takes more of our time, takes more of our interest. Father, will you forgive us of that and help us to draw near to you? And perhaps even cry out to you and be saved if that's never happened. And so, Lord, you know our hearts here today. Will you guide us to you? Will you guide the families that sat here yesterday to you? Will you guide the families that sat here for the last three funerals before that this winter to you? Will you guide the people that sit in churches all over our communities, all over this region, all over this nation to you? Sitting in church doesn't save us. Being born again saves us. And so, Father, will you do a work in America? Will you do a work in our churches? Again, from the White House to the church house, will you do a work, O God? A supernatural work that only you can do. Thank you again for this word from Marie this morning. Help us to be mindful of that. Go with us now as we go and face the day. Some will face the day because they're sick, their loved ones are sick, because they're hurting, because they're whatever, broken. Go with us, Father. However we go, draw us close. Help us to trust in you more today than we did yesterday, and more tomorrow than we did today. We love you, Lord. We need you. Thank you for your goodness. We pray all this in the precious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.